Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1-20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted to the top of his voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he had said to him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Then Jesus asked him, What is your name? He replied, My name is Legion, for we are many. He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the region. Now there on a hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, Send us into the swine, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, stampeded down the steep banks into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it to the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man possessed by demons sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen what happened to the man possessed by the demons and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. The word of God for the people of God.
Easter isn't the end of the story. Jesus keeps moving. Most of us listen to Jesus' words, but we don't always pay attention to where he goes. Jesus keeps walking down roads into neighborhoods toward people too many of us ignore. And every step widens the circle. Because when we're told to love our neighbor is bigger than we think. It's the stranger, the outsider, the difficult person, the one we weren't planning to love. This Easter season, we're following Jesus on the move, learning to be reckless, learning to be love.
As many of you know, before I came here to La Jolla United Methodist Church in 2020, I served our sister congregation in Pacific Beach. I had the privilege of serving that congregation for 6 years. I think I've been here, it's 2026, so I'm coming up on 6 years. Not bad. You may know, and I'm so grateful for folks like Bo and Mark and Stan, those who assist with a weekly meal, Project Grace, that continues to take place there at Pacific Beach UMC. Some of you have gone and participated in that meal. Our congregation supports that meal both in terms of persons to prepare and serve the meal, but also financially. One Wednesday each month, it's always a Wednesday night meal. And that congregation hosts that service every Wednesday of the month. And it's important to note that this is not only a meal, but there are surrounding services. Nonprofits come and interact with folks who are food insecure to help them manage that situation for those who are living on the street. I have observed local nonprofits help people escape homelessness. I have observed that ministry help people to avoid homelessness. Over the 6 years that I spent as a part of that ministry, I met literally hundreds of people experiencing homelessness. Hundreds. I heard their stories, and I am immensely proud to say that I earned their trust, which is not an easy thing to do. We made our neighbors so unhappy. Neighbors to that congregation, we made them so unhappy. Petitions were filed against the church. Residents called the county health department to try to shut down that weekly meal. There were community meetings where people said, "We care about people. We want these services to take place somewhere else, not in my backyard." And the language was always reasonable. Safety, property values, quality of life. The message was, we've tried, nothing works. One night somebody came to my home. They placed flyers on my cars about the dangers of the homeless. No other neighbor in my neighborhood had flyers on their cars, only mine. For being a part of a church, a ministry that helped people, that offered food. And because of that, somebody came to my house in the middle of the night. One evening, I went to a citywide town hall, a Q&A session with city and county officials. And a man came to the microphone. He said, "We should round up all the homeless and put them on trains and ship them east out of our city." I heard it. The room heard it. And I want to highlight one small aggression among many in that particular phrase. The homeless. The homeless. We don't say the cancered. We don't say the divorced. So why don't we acknowledge that the homeless are people first? You will never not hear me say people experiencing homelessness. I see the image of God in those people in the intersections and in the storefronts. When we reduce people to a condition, we make it easier to look past them. A man came to me once on a Wednesday night and told me he was hearing voices. He trusted me. I'm so grateful he trusted me to ask for a ride to the county health hospital, the mental health hospital. We took him. This was somebody's son. One of the incredible parts about that ministry is they have a free dental clinic for anyone who needs it. One day, that dental clinic was examining someone who lived on the street, didn't have the opportunity for regular dental care. They immediately sent him to the ER, to the hospital, because his tooth infection was so severe. They literally saved his life. This is somebody's child. I found that anytime you're in a community of people who can reach a level of desperateness, you have to set good and healthy boundaries. And I had to set boundaries. I had to enforce boundaries that some folks found uncomfortable, unpleasant. And I found, at least from those folks living on the street, I found that I was respected for it when the neighbors in the neighborhood didn't feel the same way. I said before, and I think it's important to acknowledge, today is Mother's Day. Day of beauty and celebration for many. But I also think it's important to remember that every person pushed to the margins is somebody's child. Every person chained to the edges of a community had a mother who once held them. And that recognition should stay with us this morning as we explore valuing the vulnerable. 2,000 years ago, on the other side of a lake, there was a man like the ones maybe I met in Pacific Beach. Jesus and his disciples cross the Sea of Galilee to the region of the Gerasenes, and they step off the boat, and immediately a man comes toward them out of the tombs. Mark describes him this way. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he'd often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. Listen to the language that the community uses about this man. He's dangerous. He can't be controlled. The chains can't restrain him. They can't hold him. He doesn't belong here. He lives among the dead, the tombs anyway. He's outside the community. They've tried everything. Nothing works. That community's response is containment, chains, isolation. Put him on a train and send him out of town to the other side. But this man had a life once. He had a life. I wonder if he had siblings. Surely he had parents. I hope he knew them. He lived in a city under Roman occupation. He had a family, he had a mother. People knew his name before he arrived among the tombs. And then something happened. Now he lives among the dead, howling and bruising himself with stones. It seems to me that the author of the Gospel of Mark wants us to see his suffering and not just see him as a threat. So Jesus asks the Spirit's name. My name is Legion, for we are many. I don't know if you put it together. Legion is a Roman military term. It's the word for an occupying army. See, the forces destroying this man are both spiritual and systemic. And the community's reasonable responses use the empire's own tools. Chains, containment, and forced order. The system that broke this man and the system that contains this man are all connected and run on the same logic. Now, there's something else that stood out to me about this story, and I think it's easy to miss. Jesus gets in a boat, and he crosses to Gentile territory, the place of the Gerasenes. I don't think Jesus crosses the lake on accident. And this is part of Bishop Berlin's premise throughout the book. Jesus' itinerary is our curriculum. Jesus takes his disciples to people and places that they would never choose on their own. And the encounters are important lessons. Jesus went to foreign territory. He went to a Gentile region to a man that nobody in their right mind would approach. It is reckless love. It is reckless love that is offered to the most vulnerable person in the story. And what does Jesus do in showing up, in being present, in engaging, in offering this reckless love? He heals the man. He doesn't get involved in the town hall. He doesn't critique the community's logic, their desire for safety, and that's why they chain him in the tombs. He doesn't argue about that. He restores a human being made in the image of God. And in doing so, the entire system of containment becomes irrelevant. Now, the pig herds in the New Revised Standard Version, it's called the swine herders, but these are the people who care for the pigs. By the way, that there are herds of pigs confirms for us this is Gentile territory. The people who care for these pigs, they run into town. They run into the countryside and they tell everyone what happened. And of course, the natural response, well, we've got to come see for ourselves. And they find this man who was once outlandish and required being chained in a place of tombs. They find him sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. The very man who had had legion. They don't celebrate. They don't say, wow, look at what's happened. Welcome into the community. Oh, we're so glad that you're back. Who you are? Maybe we've never met who you are, but we're so glad you're. They don't do any of that. Instead, they're afraid. And I would suggest perhaps they're more afraid than when he was chained among the tombs. Think about that. A healed person is more threatening than a suffering one. Because while he was suffering, the system seemed like it worked. But a restored person proves the system was never about protection. They began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. You see, the healing worked, and that's the problem. They don't know what to do with a world where the man that they wrote off is whole. Bishop Berlin writes, the root of all that conflict is a simple question about who's in and who's out. The religious leaders of Jesus' time, they assumed that they were in because they deserved to be. They kept God's law. They studied it. They were impatient with people who didn't keep it the way they did. And they became gatekeepers. People who control the doors that determine who belongs. Berlin continues, one of the easiest ways to make the commandment to love God and neighbor manageable is to identify large groups of people to whom this commandment does not apply. See, if we can shrink the circle of who counts as neighbor, then boy, doesn't love get a lot easier? We don't have to condemn anyone. We can just tell ourselves that they're not worthy of our consideration. Berlin continues, the opposite of love may not be hate, but unyielding neglect. So here's a question. Friends, what communities in our city, in our country, have been described with the same language that we just heard in Mark's gospel? Dangerous, uncontrollable, don't belong here. I wonder if you heard it while it was being read. John Wesley, Remember, we're talking about United Methodism and Wesleyanism all year long. John Wesley insisted that there is no holiness except social holiness. Private faith disconnected from our neighbor standing in front of you is not the Wesleyan tradition. That's Methodist DNA, friends. That's who we are. Jesus will say in Matthew's gospel, and we're going to read this more fully next week, he says, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Now the healed man, whose name we still don't know, the healed man, he wants to come with Jesus. He wants to follow Jesus. He begs to get on the boat. And when Jesus says no, he offers something else instead. Go home to your friends and tell them. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you, what mercy has been shown to you. And the man goes to the Decapolis, the 10 Greek cities, and begins to proclaim what Jesus did for him, and everyone is amazed. We might say he becomes the first Gentile evangelist. The vulnerable person, the one that they, the community, wanted gone, is the one who proclaims the gospel. He becomes, again, that first Gentile evangelist in Mark's gospel. The community asked Jesus to leave, and they missed the whole thing. Bishop Berlin writes this, Jesus wants to bless you, and he wants you to have the joy of blessing others. It's not enough for him that you would be healed. He wants to put the power in your life that could help heal someone else so that your joy will increase beyond measure. And then Bishop Berlin continues, the history and damage of your past, the stuff we hope to disguise, ignore, and never disclose, is exactly what is most likely to enable you to bless others somewhere down the road. The demoniac's past is precisely what makes his testimony powerful. The people in his community knew what he had been, and now they could see what God had done. I invite you to think about some of those people that I described in Pacific Beach, or maybe if you've been a part of our Project Grace ministry, maybe think about some of the people you've met. By the way, if you would like to get involved in that Project Grace ministry, Bo is sitting right here. Wait till after service, though. You know, some of those people that I met in PB, some of them found recovery. Some of them rebuilt their lives and escaped homelessness. Some of them didn't. But I know because I saw it happen. Some of those people became the ones who helped others find their way off the street. The ones the neighbors wanted removed, put on a train out of town. When given the chance, those people brought something like good news to the people around them. The townspeople in Mark's gospel saw a man healed, and they asked Jesus to leave. When we say that's political, we often mean the same thing. Just leave, stop talking. Same impulse, same fear about what may have to change when we are healed. When Jesus asked him to leave, the healed man asked, when the townspeople asked Jesus to leave, the healed man asked to go with Jesus. Jesus says, tell the story. A question for us is this. Are we the townspeople asking the uncomfortable thing to go away? Or are we willing to see the people everyone else has written off as the ones through whom God is already working?